Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. From the Arizona Republic, 10 Things to Consider When Planting a Vegetable Garden by Alexandra Frost. Avoid overcrowding when planting a vegetable garden. You visited farmers markets, sampled homegrown vegetables, and enjoyed your neighbor's overabundance. This year, you've decided to plant your own vegetable garden. How hard could it be? Whether it's your first year home gardening or you need some pointers on how to plant a successful vegetable garden, we've asked some experts to share their gardening tips so your vegetable garden doesn't just grow, it thrives. First, location, location, location. That saying's not just for real estate. Where you plant your vegetable garden can make or break its success. Consider the amount of sun the spot gets and identify the closest water sources. Your plants need plenty of sunlight, ideally at least 6 hours during the summer, says Brett Douglas, horticulturalist and owner of Ironclad Landscape Management in Florida. If your garden doesn't get enough sunlight, your plants won't thrive, no matter how much effort you put in. Another key component is knowing the planting zone in which you live. Some plants won't thrive in certain areas due to temperature, sun exposure, and rainfall averages, so it's important to purchase plants or seeds that can grow in your region. Planting zones can be found on the envelopes of seeds and on the USDA's website. Second, know your pH. Not all soil is the same, so you might find it beneficial to research the pH of your soil and how that could affect the growth of your garden. Anthony Urso, a micro-homesteader and avid gardener for more than 15 years, says understanding soil composition is imperative. One size fits all doesn't work when it comes to gardening, says Urso. Certain plants thrive in specific soil types. Carrots love soft, loamy soil that allows roots to grow deep and straight. Cabbage prefers slightly acidic, nutrient-rich soil to develop firm, healthy heads. Soil amendments like compost, lime, or sulfur can help adjust conditions to meet your plant's needs. Nurseries often sell soil testing kits. You can also reach out to community gardening groups or local resources, such as agriculture extension offices, to learn about soil testing in your area. Third, make a plan. You might be tempted to just start planting in your free space, but when it comes to gardening, it's best to have a vision and direction. Make a plan, yes, on paper, says Madeline Hooper, host of Garden Fit on PBS. It's important to measure your area and know how many plants you will need. Douglas agrees that a simple garden sketch can make harvesting easier. It's important to know what plants you're growing and where to plant them, he says. Grouping similar plants together based on their soil and watering needs can lead to healthier growth. Fourth, give them space. Less is often more when it comes to planting. Some plants can be placed close together while others need plenty of room to spread out, says Douglas. Understanding the growth patterns of your vegetables and herbs will help maximize your yield. Juliet Howe, a horticulturalist and founder of Twigs Designs in Connecticut, couldn't agree more, especially if you want to stay on good terms with your neighbors. Don't plant too much, she says. It's really hard not to. When the seedlings are small, it's so easy to want all of them. You neither want your garden to be crowded, nor do you want a yield of so much zucchini that you're offloading it into your neighbor's mailboxes before sunrise. Fifth, be careful with water. You might think that giving your garden lots of water is showing it love, but too much can be a recipe for disaster. Overwatering weakens plants' roots or leads to rot. So make sure you're watering your garden based on your plant's needs. Urso says it's generally best to aim to keep the soil moist an inch below the surface. If the topsoil is dry, but the lower layers are damp, your plants are fine, he says. He also suggests watering at the base of your growing vegetables, as that's where hydration matters most. Too many wet leaves might encourage disease. Watering in the morning is also ideal. This allows plants to absorb moisture before the heat of the day, reducing evaporation and preventing fungal issues, he says. Number 6, feed them. Just like you need important nutrients to perform at your best, your plants do too. For a vegetable garden, this could be done through composting. According to the USDA, food scraps and yard waste can make up 20 to 30% of what Americans throw away. When these items are instead allowed to decompose naturally, they can add nutrients to the soil without chemical fertilizers. However, a compost pile isn't just a heap of kitchen scraps and yard waste, Ursel says. It's a living, breathing ecosystem that requires balance. For guidance, visit USDA.gov. Number 7, rotate your crops. If you want to continue vegetable gardening year after year, it's important to educate yourself on the benefits of crop rotation. The rule of three is a simple way to remember it. Don't plant crops from the same family in the same spot more than once every 3 to 4 years, Ursel says. Repeated planting of the same plant in the same spot can deplete soil nutrients and promote soil-derived diseases. 8. Protect your bounty. A fence around your vegetable garden will save you all kinds of heartache. If it's possible, your fence should be 7 to 8 feet high, says Howe. If fencing is not a possibility, or you're looking to make your garden a chemical-free zone, you can use a natural pest deterrent. Flowers like marigolds planted amid your vegetable garden can help repel pesky insects like aphids. 9. Forget trends. Our experts say growing a successful garden is less about following trends and more about embracing how your vegetable garden serves you. While a garden should be visually appealing, its primary purpose should be functionality. Grow what you'll actually eat. Keep the ornamental plants in your landscape beds and let your garden work for you. Your stomach will thank you, says Douglas. Finally, number 10, be patient. They say good things come to those who wait, and this might be especially true when it comes to vegetable gardening. Every gardener learns by trial and error, Hooper says. Plants do die from certain factors like an unusual drought, an invasion of whiteflies, or very hungry bunnies. A good gardener is one who has moved the same plant several times until finding exactly the right home for it for practical reasons and creative preferences. Be patient. Also from the Arizona Republic, stunning U.S. destinations to see spring flowers. Come springtime, travelers looking for a seasonal escape set their sights on colorful destinations. While the cherry blossoms of Washington, D.C. are iconic, many lesser-known spots across the U.S. offer equally breathtaking flower blooms. From wildflower meadows in the mountains to expansive tulip fields and desert poppies, here are 7 stunning garden getaways for peeping spring flowers by Sky Rogers. First on the list is Boone, North Carolina. When to go? April through June. Boone's varied elevations create a staggered wildflower bloom in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Lower elevations see Carolina spring beauty, trillium, and dwarf iris emerging in early spring, while higher elevations showcase flame azaleas, mountain laurel, and Catawba rhododendrons in May and June. For prime wildflower viewing, hike the popular Tanawha Trail, which follows the slopes of Grandfather Mountain, or explore the Boone Fork Trail, a scenic loop with meadows, creek crossings, and rhododendron tunnels. For an immersive mountain experience, Elk Knob State Park Summit Trail offers breathtaking views of the Amphibolite Mountains framed by bright orange azaleas. After a day in the mountains, relax at Rhodes Mount Motor Lodge, a recently reimagined 1950s motel blending retro charm with modern comfort. Next on the list is Finger Lakes, New York. When to go? April through June. For a springtime floral escape, the Finger Lakes region is a haven of spring flowers like magnolia and lilac blooms that paint the landscape in soft pastels. For a more intimate experience, garden tourists can stroll through the Sonnenberg Gardens and Mansion Historical Park, where meticulously maintained landscapes and floral gardens blend history with horticulture. At the end of April, the Orchid Show and Plein Air Showcase offers orchid lovers an opportunity to learn about and enjoy blooms and plein air art exhibits. After a day of taking in spring flowers, unwind at Geneva on the Lake or the Lake House on Canandaigua. Columbus, Ohio is next. When to go? March through June. Every year, the Greater Columbus Cherry Blossom Festival celebrates the city's more than 5,000 cherry trees with events, displays, activities, and a stunning display of pink and white blooms. Springtime in Columbus can be unpredictable, so check bloom reports and bring layers for changing temperatures. For a truly breathtaking floral experience, visit the Columbus Park of Roses, one of the largest public rose gardens in the U.S., where over 11,000 roses bloom in a 13-acre oasis. Stay at the Junto, a boutique hotel with a unique gear garage and complimentary amenities such as kayaks, picnic kits, and scooters for exploring the city. Next on the list of stunning U.S. destinations to see spring flowers, the Black Hills in South Dakota. When to go? April through August. The Black Hills of South Dakota are a must-see destination for seeing spring flowers set against rugged peaks and rolling prairies. Spring brings vibrant displays of South Dakota state flower, pasque flowers, prairie smoke, and purple cone flowers. Explore Custer State Park at the Black Hills National Forest, where wildflower-filled meadows contrast with granite outcroppings. Take a scenic drive along the Spearfish Canyon Scenic Byway, which features cascading waterfalls alongside wildflowers. For hikers, the Centennial Trail and the George S. Mickelson Trail offer miles of wildflower viewing through pine forests and open grasslands. Stay on designated paths to protect the delicate ecosystems and enjoy this unforgettable spring flower spectacle. For a charming stay, Spearfish Canyon Lodge immerses visitors in a tranquil retreat surrounded by waterfalls and lush greenery, while Sylvan Lake Lodge offers breathtaking lakefront views. Next one on the list is located right here in Arizona, Picacho Peak State Park. When to go? February. Picacho Peak State Park erupts into a golden wonderland each spring as Mexican gold poppies and purple lupines blanket the desert floor. This vibrant bloom, set against the rugged backdrop of the Superstition Mountains, creates an unforgettable landscape. Spring flower blooms depend on winter rainfall, so check for seasonal updates before visiting. Join a park guide on the challenging Sunset Vista Trail to the top of Picacho Peak, or try the more moderate Callaway Trail, offering panoramic views of the desert in bloom. Nearby, Lost Dutchman State Park and Catalina State Park offer additional opportunities to experience the Southwest's breathtaking floral displays. After a day of exploring, unwind at Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort in Tucson, an elegant, historic retreat surrounded by desert gardens, or Los Ventana Canyon Resort offering luxury accommodations with stunning mountain views. Carlsbad, California is next. When to go? March through mid-May. Each spring, the flower fields transform the rolling hills of North San Diego County into a dazzling display of giant tecolote ranunculus flowers. Spanning 55 acres, these vibrant blooms peak from March through mid-May, making them one of the most spectacular floral showcases in the country. Beyond the flower fields, visitors can experience activities from floral mazes and tractor rides into sunset wine tastings, yoga in the gardens, and flower crown workshops. Visit Carlsbad celebrates Carlsbad blooms into spring with local businesses, restaurants, and hotels offering wellness-focused experiences inspired by the season. Carlsbad can get busy during peak bloom, so visit early in the morning or midweek for a more peaceful experience. Stay at the Park Hyatt Aviara Resort for a rejuvenating garden vacation and enjoy the Miraval Spa. Alternatively, book a room at Cape Ray Carlsbad Beach, where the soothing sounds of the ocean enhance relaxation. North Cascades National Park in Washington. When to go? March through June. North Cascades National Park is a true wilderness gem for those seeking an off-the-beaten-path floral escape. Home to more than 1,600 species of wildflowers, the park offers a stunning array of spring flowers, from shady forest floors to dry east side slopes and alpine ridges. With over 400 miles of trails, there are plenty of options for wildflower viewing. The low-elevation Thunder Creek Trail is ideal in spring, offering moderate hikes through lush forests, where salmonberry, Indian plum, and red-flowering currant bloom early, attracting hummingbirds. And a note, snow lingers on high-elevation trails into July, and seasonal road closures may affect access. After a day of wildflower-filled hikes, unwind at Sun Mountain Lodge in Winthrop or the North Cascades Lodge at Stehekin. These cozy retreats offer breathtaking views. From BetterHomesAndGardens.com, 19 underused perennials that deserve a spot in your garden. By Lynn McAlpine. Most gardeners are familiar with classic perennials such as daylilies, peonies, hostas, and iris, but there's a whole host of lesser-known perennials that can add color and interest to your garden. They may be a little harder to find at your garden center or online, but these underused, gorgeous perennials are all worth the effort. Number 1, Baptisia. The most common planted Baptisia species is false indigo. This beauty is a tough, reliable native perennial that will bloom year after year for decades in any sunny garden. Other Baptisia species bloom in purple, yellow, or white flowers every spring. The plants are heat and drought resistant, and the divided blue-green leaves add interest to the garden. They aren't fussy about soil type, but the plants are slow-growing, so buy the largest ones you can find. Growing conditions for Baptisia: full sun and well-drained soil. Grows up to 4 feet tall and grows well in zones 3 through 9. Gas plant is number 2. Although it can be difficult to find at your local garden center, gas plant is definitely worth the search. A cottage garden classic, gas plant produces pretty spikes of pink or white flowers in late spring and early summer. After the flowers fade, the plant forms star-shaped seed heads. Gas plant bloom for years if you plant them in full sun and leave them there. They hate to be transplanted or divided. Growing conditions for gas plant: full sun to part shade and moist, well-drained soil. Grows up to 3 feet tall and grows well in zones 3 through 8. Mallow, number 3. At first glance, you might think a common mallow is a member of the hibiscus family because this easy-care perennial develops masses of pink, open-face, hibiscus-like flowers delicately edged with dark purple stripes. This plant can handle almost any soil type, but doesn't have a long lifespan and may only last a few years. However, it self-sows frequently, so there's often a new crop of plants growing nearby. Can be invasive in some areas, so keep an eye out for runaway plants. Growing conditions for mallow: full sun to part shade and moist, well-drained soil. Grows up to 8 feet tall and grows well in zones 4 through 8. Globe thistle, number 4. Unlike other weedy invaders with thistle in their name, globe thistle is a joy to grow. This sun-loving perennial produces showy, bright blue or white thistle-like spherical blooms from mid to late summer. The flowers look beautiful in fresh or dried arrangements. Globe thistle is heat and drought tolerant, or drought resistant actually, but doesn't transplant well. So plant it where you want it to grow permanently. Growing conditions: full sun and well-drained soil. Grows up to 2 feet tall, and globe thistle grows in zones 3 through 8. Bergenia is next. Bergenia is often called pig squeak because the leaves are said to sound like an outraged swine when you rub them between your fingers. Once you get past the plant's silly name, you'll quickly discover that Bergenia is a tremendously useful ground cover plant in shady spots. Its thick, dark green, heart-shaped leaves and spikes of bright pink spring flowers are a welcome treat under tall trees or dense shrubs. Growing conditions for Bergenia: part to full shade and moist, well-drained soil. Grows up to 15 inches tall and grows in zones 3 through 8. Number 6 is Culver's Root. A North American native, Culver's Root makes a bold statement in the back of mixed borders or meadow gardens. Culver's Root produces a non-stop display of white candelabra-like flower heads throughout the summer. Growing conditions: full sun and moist soil. Grows up to 7 feet tall and grows well in zones 3 through 8. Sea holly is next. If you love to create fresh flower arrangements, plant sea holly in your garden. Popular cut flower since the Victorian era, sea holly is prized for its stiff, steel-like or steel blue flowers that hold their color even when dried. Growing conditions: full sun and well-drained soil. Sea holly grows up to 3 feet tall and grows in zones 5 through 9. Solomon seal, number 8. There aren't many perennials that thrive in dense shade, but Solomon seal is a colorful exception that will quickly light up the darkest corners of your landscape. This pretty plant develops cheerful green or variegated foliage and small bell-shaped white flowers in April and May. Growing conditions, part to full shade and moist, well-drained soil, Solomon Seal grows up to 3 feet tall and grows well in zones 3 through 8. Queen of the Prairie. Thanks to its size, no one can call Queen of the Prairie a shrinking violet. This amazing native perennial is ideal for large gardens or open hillsides where you can give it enough elbow room to hold court. Grows in full sun or part sun and moist, well-drained soil. Grows up to 8 feet tall and grows in zones 3 through 8. Perennial Geranium, number 10. When it comes to flower power, few perennials can compare to perennial geranium. These little beauties put on a big show in the garden because they always seem to be smothered in flowers. Growing conditions, full sun to part shade and moist, well-drained soil. Grows up to 2 feet tall and grows in zones 4 through 10. Catmint, number 11. We probably get more compliments about catmint than any other perennial in our test garden. Planted in masses along a border edge, this little powerhouse never fails to produce a show-stopping display of bright bluish-purple flowers. Catmint grows full sun to part shade in moist, well-drained soil, up to 3 feet tall, and grows well in zones 3 through 8. Veronica, number 12. Once found in every perennial border, Veronica isn't always the first plant you see when you visit the garden center. That's probably because the plants don't look all that showy when they're young, but Veronica remains one of the easiest and prettiest perennials you can grow. Growing conditions, full sun and well-drained soil, Veronica grows up to 2 feet tall and grows in zones 4 through 9. Turtlehead, number 13. Late summer can be a drab time in the perennial border unless you include plants like Turtlehead that put on their best show at the end of the season. This plant produces attractive snapdragon-like rose, purple, pink, or white flowers from July to September. Growing conditions, full sun to part shade and moist soil, grows up to 3 feet tall and grows in zones 3 through 9. Number 14 is Epimedium. Some perennials are natural problem solvers. Epimedium is one of the best ground covers for dry shade, which makes it invaluable for use under tall, shallow-rooted trees like maples that suck moisture from the soil. Growing conditions for Epimedium, part to full shade and well-drained soil, grows up to 12 inches tall and grows in zones 5 through 9. Number 15 is Wild Ginger. Gardening in moist, shady locations is challenging, but stemless wild ginger doesn't disappoint. Its dark green leaves, which are heart or kidney-shaped, spread by rhizomes to form a lush ground cover in wet, shady areas. Growing conditions, part to full shade and medium to wet, well-drained soil, grows up to 12 inches tall, and wild ginger grows in zones 3 through 8. Number 16, Japanese anemone. The flowers of Japanese anemone fill a midsummer to fall gap in the garden when few perennials are in bloom. The spectacular flowers appear on long stems in shades of white and pink. Growing conditions for anemone, part sun to part shade in rich, well-drained soil, grows up to 5 feet tall and grows well in zones 4 through 8. Number 17 is toad lily. Add flair to a fall garden with toad lily. The plants are soft and fuzzy, and their arching stems bear clusters of upright flowers in fall when other shade plants have finished blooming. Growing conditions for toad lily, part shade in rich, moist, well-drained soil, grows up to 3 feet tall and grows in zones 4 through 9. Number 18, Threadleaf Blue Star. Low-maintenance Threadleaf Blue Star offers three-season garden interest beginning in spring with its pale blue star-shaped flowers. Attractive green foliage sets off other plants in summer, and in fall, the plant displays a lovely yellow-gold color. Growing conditions, full to partial sun in fertile, slightly acidic, well-drained soil, grows up to 3 feet tall and grows well in zones 5 through 9. Finally, number 19 on the list of underused perennials, Agastache. Agastache is a group of more than 30 species of plants with long-lasting blooms in shades of pink, red, orange, purple, blue, and white. These fragrant perennials are at home in a cottage garden, garden border, along walkways, and in a butterfly garden. Agastache, growing conditions, full sun and well-drained soil, grows up to 3 feet tall and grows well in zones 4 through 10. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories each week from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called Romeo Sets the Stage. It was written by Jill LeBoy, submitted by Diane Janice White, and there's a quote here from Park Benjamin. Flowers are love's truest language. Romeo sets the stage. As a flight attendant for a major airline, I've had many memorable moments attending to passenger special needs. Most of the memories bring a smile to my lips. Some make me grin from ear to ear. My all-time favorite occurred a few years ago on a Friday night flight to Denver. A passenger asked the flight attendants if we could do him a favor. The young man's girlfriend was meeting him at the airport in Denver, and he was planning to propose. He had brought with him 99 long-stemmed red roses and one long-stemmed white rose. Nestled between the petals of the single white rose was an engagement ring. Our Romeo wanted 99 passengers to deplane before him, each handing his girlfriend a red rose. He would come out last carrying the white rose with the ring and propose to her. We made an announcement explaining the gentleman's plan and asked for volunteers. Immediately, hands waved and people called out. Everyone wanted to be part of the romantic event. The lucky 99 were thrilled to be entrusted with a rose. Throughout the flight, the young man went through the cabin showing the engagement ring and receiving congratulations. Many passengers shared stories of their own engagement, wedding, or honeymoon, and waves of laughter rang through the cabin. The warm wishes and feelings of joy were overwhelming. When we arrived in Denver, the passengers deplaned in a buzz of excitement, and the crew followed our Romeo out of the jet bridge. And there, under a mountain of roses, we found Juliet, and a plane full of passengers patiently waiting to spy on this special moment. Romeo took the roses from his sweetheart's arms, laid them on a chair, dropped to one knee, and professed his love. And then he handed her his single white rose. Through her tears, she said, "Yes." And the audience broke into cheers, cameras flashed, and best wishes were given. Truly all the world loves a lover. That's called Romeo Sets the Stage, written by Jill LeBoy, submitted by Diane Janice White. One of the many stories that make up Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. And that's the Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy, and we'll be talking with you soon.